We're going to go back to 1 John, hopefully finish this chapter today. Let's remember why John was moved to write this epistle. The time of history, there were many false doctrines coming into the world. There was going to be a time of violence in the first century. There already had been. This is about AD 90, Jerusalem was already destroyed and ceased to exist in the way that it was. The law service was over. Christ's church was in the world. There was a lot of violence, a lot of hatred against God's people. This is no different today regarding what we face in the world, and even more so being manifested in this nation. Now, John began in chapter 1 telling us about what it's all about. That which was from the beginning, our Savior, the second person of the Godhead, Jesus Christ, Son of God. All things are by Him and for Him and of Him. And we strive to worship Him. He is light. And if we have light, it is in Him. If we have understanding, it is in Him. Chapter 3 began, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." Point made in that, attempting to understand, which we cannot but a fraction of it comprehend, the love that God has for us. That's the good news in this time of trouble. That's the good news in time of tribulation. That's the good news in time of evil. And by evil, I mean turmoil in the world. But God hath revealed it unto us, and John is reminding us by the inspiration of the Spirit of God how much God loves us. He plainly tells us as he goes through here that he that doeth righteousness is of God. Period. Period. A man taken in his natural state cannot know God. He hates God, therefore he that has a desire to walk righteously, any man that has love within his heart, is born of God. If you love the brotherhood, if you love the institutions of God, your family and the church, for the family was created first. If you have love in your heart, true brotherly love, and even the love that's not brotherly, a desire to help those you don't know, as we're told to do, by feeding the hungry and such, then that man is born of God. Anyone with goodness in him is born of God. I've said this many times, and people look at me like I'm crazy sometimes, but there will not be a good man taste the fire of hell, because if the man's got any goodness in him, the Lord is there, or the goodness would not be. Now John, after talking about all this, brings us up to verse 13 of chapter 3, where we stopped last week. After touching on it a little bit, it's a proper time to start there again with what's been manifested this week in this country. "Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you." I don't have to talk about all that's going on. This is not the time or the place. I'm not going to get in the pulpit of God and talk about politics. We can do that outside sometime if you want to. But he says, "Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you." God's children are hated by those in the world. When you see one who persecutes and hates a child of God, or anything good, or anything that is righteous, or anything that God hath established, that's done in hatred. There's no other reason. There's no other reason. You could put a cause on it, but the bottom line, that which has been manifested this week, it's just pure hatred of things that are right and things that are good. He said, "We know." Now we began to get to the point of moving on today. We know. Understand that. John is not saying we believe. He's not saying we think. You know, there in John 6, the Lord told Peter, he said, "Have not I chosen you 12, and you one of you is a devil?" And he asked them, "Would they also go away?" And Peter said, "We are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." How is he sure? How do we know? How are we assured in our heart? And that's what this text is going to be about today. basically, the surety of salvation. He says, we know. We don't believe. We don't have just a little hope. Our hope is not little. Our hope is Jesus Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory, that is your hope. The earnest expectation of the resurrection of the body, body, spirit, and soul, being with Christ above for all eternity with no more sin and no more death. That is our hope. What a man seeth, he doesn't hope for. But it's within us, our expectation in Christ. God hath given us the understanding that there's another world which is in righteousness, that there's another world that we shall see, that we'll leave this world of sorrow, that we'll leave this world of death, we'll leave this world of sin and evil and turmoil and wickedness, and we'll be with Christ above. That's why it says we know, because God hath placed it within us in His Son, Jesus Christ. We know of a surety. We are sure. I don't just believe it. I can believe the sun will rise tomorrow. But if the Lord comes back today, the sun will not rise tomorrow. Therefore, what I believed was in vain as far as the sun rising. I don't believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I know Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, we're going to talk about belief if we get to it today. And we're told to believe that He's God, believe He's the Son of God, believe He's the Savior. We have peace in believing that Jesus Christ has saved us and delivered us. There's the belief that we're to have. But we know that He is God manifest in the flesh. We know that we have passed from death unto life. Somebody says, well, we're all going to die. Yes, we're going to die unless the Lord returns. And we're alive when He returns. The death being spoken of when He says that we know that we have passed from death unto life is that we have passed from the death of sin unto life in Christ. We've been adopted from the nature of Adam, fallen man, into the nature of the perfect Son of God, holy and righteous. We believe this, but farther down deeper to the depth of our heart, soul, and being, we know this. We have sureness of this in our heart. We know that we have passed from death unto life because, why? Because we love the brethren. The brethren. I said last week, God has many sons. Whether they're men or women, they're called sons of God. But God has very few disciples. This is written to disciples. This is written to those that worship God. Those that try to please God. Those that try to walk with God. Those whom God hath given life, granted repentance, and they now take up their cross daily, striving to serve and follow Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Why is this important? I'm going to tell you, with the way this week has been, and my hard Birmingham Blue Police heart has been so angry. I've been consumed in my own anger, and it's nobody's fault but mine. I can't do anything to change all of it. What I need to do is just walk in the sureness of Jesus Christ and pray and control myself and do what I'm supposed to do. And He's going to tell us how to have this sureness. We've already got it within us, but the rest of this chapter is going to teach us how to walk with God in peace and have a surety. A surety. We know that we pass from death unto life. A surety in the work of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I can tell you a little jump start right now, because when I was a child and it disobeyed, my daddy popped my backside. That's what they used to do and should do today. But when I walked in a way that was pleasing in His sight, I had more blessings from Him. I had more, in my eyes, less trying times, because I was obedient to what I was being taught by my parents. Same way with God. We know that we have passed from death into life because we love the brethren. If you love God, if you love your brethren. Now, we just talked last week about Cain and Abel. There were two brothers. They are natural brothers. I love my brother. I love all three of my brothers. I love all three of my sisters. We don't get along all the time. Chuck and I get along better than me and the other two most of the time. I don't see them much. Everybody's got their own life and busy. That's the way life goes. But this text is dealing with a brother in Christ. Cain rose up and slew his brother. Why did Cain kill Abel? Because Abel's works were righteous and Cain's were evil. That's cut and dried. That is given that we may see why the world hates us. Why do we live in a world of chaos and hatred? Because it's a fallen world in sin and the world hates us. Why does the world hate us? Because they're left in their own nature and they hate God. They hate the Godhead. They hate the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Therefore, they hate us. We see that manifested. But if we love the brethren, this includes worship. If you're with brethren, you're going to be worshiping. There are many sons of God, but few disciples. I'm going to tell you, I've walked in the world. It's not pleasant. To walk in God's kingdom with God's people, we have a special manifestation of Jesus Christ in the Spirit of God, which teaches us of Him and brings former things of Christ into remembrance. If we love the brethren, John's writing to disciples, if we love the church, we have a sureness that we're not abiding in the death of sin, even though Satan tempts us daily, even though we suffer trial and tribulation, even when we walk by our choice in ways contrary to the will of God, we still do not abide in a constant state of death and sin. Because the Spirit of God, the seed of God, Jesus Christ, remains in us. And he says, we know that if we pass from death to life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother, he that does not love his brother, he that does not love the church, abideth in death. He's dead in his sins. Cain was the example of that wicked one. Hated his brother's righteousness. Hated his brother's works. The ungodly, those left in their own state of wickedness by their nature, hate the church. Why can we not do this? Why is it against the law to do this? You've seen this week. Let's get rid of the law. Let's get rid of law enforcement. Let us do what we desire. Just like the days of Judges when every man did that which was right in his own eyes. They're left in their own state of nature. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. That does not mean that everyone that hates his brother kills his brother. Let's give you an example of that. Matthew chapter 5. The Sermon on the Mount, the Lord preaching to those there. He makes a statement. I'll just start in verse 38. You've heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for tooth, but I say unto you that you resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. He's making the point that we are to live together, and that's not the one I wanted. I was going to close that part with that, and I started down too far. He makes the point over here, and I don't see it. Here we are. You've heard verse 21. You've heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. That was the law of God that God gave to reign and rule over a people and keep peace in the nation of Israel, as Moses appointed judges to rule over them as a nation of people, and how they were to keep law and order in that economy. He said, but I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And that's the judgment of the judges of Israel. That's not necessarily saying the judgment of God in heaven above, because God's people's sins are forgiven in Christ, period. So rightly divide the word of truth. They would be in danger of the judgment, of going before the judgment seat, and those that ruled over that day of Israel. And whosoever shall say to his brother Rekha, that means vain man, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say thou fool shall be in danger of hell fire. He's making the point that the things that we think and the things that we say, when we live in hatred against our brethren in the church, he's not talking about the world. He plainly says, he that loveth not his brother. That's pertaining with the ungodly to brothers in the flesh, but to those in the church of our brethren in the church. I say that because the ungodly do not have brethren in the church. Only those born of God have brethren in the church. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. He is making the point that the ungodly hate their brother within their heart. They would kill him in their heart. Remember when he's talking about being with a woman. And he said, if you look upon her with lust, you've already committed adultery with her. It's the same thing, our sinful heart. The natural man cannot change his sinful heart. The natural man dwells in that. He can do nothing to change it. That change comes from God in Christ. And his children will at some point between conception and death have that change. They must be changed to stand with God and before God in heaven and immortal glory. That's all the work of God. It's all in Christ. Nothing we can do about that. The text is telling us about life in this world and joy in this world. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. He hates him in his heart. He would kill him in his heart. Have we not seen this manifested lately? And ye know, this is cut and dried, and ye know that no murderer, this is not saying somebody that kills somebody. There are reasons to kill people. The law bears the sword not in vain. You've got a right to defend yourself. Two examples. Whosoever hateth his brother, as Cain did Abel, despises his brother because his brother's acts and works are righteous because God is within him in Christ, and God accepts him in Christ. Whosoever hateth his brother, the natural man, is a murderer in his heart. And you know that no murderer, no natural man, no man that hates everything but himself, that's hard for us to comprehend. I trust that we're all here to worship God, and that teaches me that God is within us and hath given us life. It is hard for a Christian, especially a disciple of Christ, who strives to walk with God, to understand one that's being spoken of here. We've, as the expression goes, been sheltered in the closet, so to speak, by the hedge that God put around us in Christ. We don't see these things every day. We don't walk in these things every day. Most of us do not even know of people and live with people and see people that are in this condition and state because we don't get around them. We don't associate with them. We don't want to. It's manifested this week how people walk in this world who have no fear of God and do not love God. When you set a church on fire, there is no fear of God in their eyes. That's a murderer. He doesn't have eternal life abiding in him. He's either not yet born of the Spirit of God. If he's a child of God, he will be before he dies. Or else it's not given to him to be born of the Spirit. He's not of the elect of God, and he's left in his own sins. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby, brethren, hereby perceive we the love of God. Were it not for the grace of God, we'd be in the same shape. But through the election of grace, those the Father gave to the Son. Ephesians 2 and 1, and you hath He, God, quickened in Christ, who were dead. We were dead, just like these people being spoken of, in trespasses and sins. That's us by our nature. God may quicken a child of God the moment he is conceived in the womb. God may quicken a child of God at the point of death as he did the thief on the cross. That is the work of God. It's in the Son of God. And he quickeneth whom he will. I do not question that. Where in time past you walked according, this is us, to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, Satan, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. We were just exactly like them. We'd be burning churches, tearing down cities, destroying people, killing innocent people, reveling and kicking them to death and beating them to death, were it not for the grace of God, among whom also we all had our conversation, our walk, in times in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh, of the mind, and we're by our nature, the children of wrath. We're just as deserving as hell fire as those left in their natural state. But God, don't you love those words? But God, who is rich in mercy. We don't get what we deserve. We have grace in Jesus Christ. For his great love, how did John start this chapter? Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. But God, who is rich in his mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and have raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You're sitting in a heavenly place today if Christ is here with us, and I trust that he is, for God will never leave us nor forsake us, who called together to worship God. And he promised, even though it's taken out of context, because the Bible says where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there. This is taken out of context. That's talking about judgment and judging if you read Matthew 18. But brethren, it applies to those who meet together to worship, small in number also. Christ is here, whether there's 2 or 2,000. Where was I? Hereby perceive we the love of God. God hath quickened us, given us life, taken us from that. How did it come? Hereby perceive we the love of God. Remember over here earlier in the chapter, for this reason he was manifested, to take away our sins. He made it known unto us. He's told it to us. He's taught it to us. That's why we have sureness, a surety of salvation within us, peace with God, because he laid down his life for us. The living Word of God was made flesh and laid down his life, suffered, bled, died, spit upon, beaten, crown of thorns upon his head, smitten with a reed, nailed to the cross, scourged, hanged there, and laid down his life for us. That is love. That is love. I love my wife. I told her, if they start something up there, first thing you do is call the police and you call me, because I'm coming that way and get you out. And I cannot love like God loves us. While we were at enmity with God, we just read that. God loved us and saved us. That's a surety in your heart. And I'll go ahead and say this now and not leave any doubt. The closer we walk with God, The more we feel that assurity. I've been in times in my life when I rebelled against God and I didn't know. Lord, am I cast away? Have I done this to myself? I'm vile. I hate this. But brethren, when you, it's possible to get in that state and Satan tries to have you to make that choice and rebel against God. But God is merciful. And God always brings us back in one way or another, either through life or through death. Hereby perceive we the love of God because He laid down His life for us. We understand the love that God has. Because we're enabled to see by faith and have hope placed within us of God. Through Christ in our heart, His love. Try to quote this many times, Zechariah 12:10, where he said, I'll pour upon the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. And here's my point. And they shall look upon me, God, Jesus Christ, whom they have pierced on the cross. And they shall mourn as one that mourneth for his only son. God gives that to us that we may by faith see Him and understand the love of God. The love that causes the greatest joy in your heart while at the same time your heart is mourning in sadness and sorrow for the death and the sacrifice of the Lamb of God. Hereby perceive we the love of God because He laid down His life for us. Christ died for you. And I do believe for me. Now, He's going to tell us how to enjoy, how to have this joy. How do we have this sureness? How do we have this assurity? Go back to the cause of the letter. All the doctrines floating through the world, all the violence, all the persecution, all our troubles, all the death, all the sin in this world. How do we have this assuredness? Hereby perceive we the love of God because He laid down His life for us. Here we go. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. That's how we enjoy the joy, you heard me correct, the joy of Christ in our hearts. Let's go to John 15 and have an explanation. This begins by Christ speaking of abiding in Him. We abide in Him because He is within us. We've already made this point time so many clear, and I hope I do ever so many times we've made this point clear, and I hope I continue to do so weekly. A child of God has Christ in him. It will never leave. It cannot be taken away. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Let's put that proven text to one place and let's rightly divide the word of truth and let's understand the meaning of the text. If ye abide in me, if ye do what I tell you, if ye obey my word, if my words abide in you, if you take hold of them, if you walk in them, if you worship me, if you love God first and foremost and love your brethren as yourself and even love your neighbor. And that don't mean the man that lives next door to you. That means he who is not worthy of your mercy. Now again, let's rightly divide the word of truth. The love we're told to have for those that are not brethren and not family, that we don't even know especially, is when they're hungry, feed them. When they're naked, clothe them. When they're thirsty, give them drink. That type of compassionate love upon those who are in need and are without in the world. Well, you're meddling now, preacher. No, I'm not. I'm giving you Bible. Jesus talking about abiding in Him, He said, abide in me and I in you. And the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, fruit to God, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. We cannot do goodness except Christ is within us and we strive to walk with God. I am the vine, you are the branches. Let me go on down. Verse, I'll go ahead and read that. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, walking with Him, and I in Him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Those who abide in Christ and strive to obey His word and walk with Him and live as He lived, magnifying Christ in their body, they bring forth much fruit. Fruit to who? Fruit to God. Glory to God. He'll prove that in a moment. For without me, understand this, I wish the whole Christian world could understand this. It's right here, plain and simple, in the words of the Lord. Without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and withered. Men gather them and cast them in the fire and they are burned. I'll touch on that some other time. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, not word single is the word of God, the living word of God. He's already there. My words, my commandments, what I teach. What does He teach? Love God, love your brother, love your neighbor. Different types of love. We have a love of God which is reverential, fearful love. When we look up at God who is very worthy and very just, if He would have destroyed us, but He chose to save us and bestow upon us a love we cannot begin to understand, not even much of a fraction of it. And we have a love of brethren where we're kinship in Christ, where the Spirit of God dwells within us all. It comes from God. For God is love. If we love Him, then we abide in Christ. If you abide in me and my words, my teaching abide in you, ye shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Rightly divide the word truth. Well, I go to church, so I want a lot of money. Lord, I pray for money. I go to church, I want a big old house. Lord, I pray for a big old house. I go to church, I want a new Cadillac or Lincoln. That's not dealing with material things. This text is dealing with the kingdom of God and the love of God. Most of God's children are poor to some degree. Nobody's poor in this country. Our homeless people are fat. But most of God's children have less than others. There are some in the church. I didn't say they weren't children of God. Somebody having money is not making them hellbound. Man works for what he gets. God give you that ability. You want more, go to work and get it. That's all I can tell you. It's what I was taught as a child. I've never been without. Because God blesses me to be able to get up and do it. My words abide in you. You shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. These are dealing with spiritual things. These are dealing with gifts of the Spirit. This is dealing with love. Love, love. Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians 13. Let me read it. I think love, no, charity's love. It's not love. Faith. Hope. Now abide faith, hope, and charity. Your faith in God, Christ in you, the hope of glory, and charity. Charity. Love in action. Ernie Stump taught me that. Love manifested, which in essence is Christ magnified because He is the love of God. These three, the greatest of these is charity, our love in action, for it glorifies God. That's what we're being taught by the Lord Himself here in John 15. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. If we want the church to prosper and we want the church to grow and we want the church to be healthy, then we love God and we love each other. Love the brotherhood. And when we walk in that way, it doesn't matter what happens in this world. If our devotion is to God and our love is for God and our love is for our brethren, then God blesses us. God blesses us. Doesn't matter what happens in the world. God blesses His people. That is a promise right here, and God cannot lie, and Jesus Christ is God, the second person of the Godhead. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Herein, He's telling us what to do, is my Father glorified that ye bear much fruit. That ye love. The three ways we're taught to love. God first and foremost, our brethren, and even those that are called neighbors, which do not even deserve our mercy. Again, that's a different type of love than brotherly love. I think it's called agape love. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, that you love each other. You know, the things I worry about, and I'm as patriotic as any American, if not more so. This generation's changed so much for mine. I'd fight for America. I spent 25 years of my life fighting evil people because I wanted to. I love this country. I love our freedom. I love the blessings God bestowed upon us here. But I'm going to tell you this. I love God's people far, far more than I love this country. I'll fight and die for this country. I'm not able to do much more than that for God's people other than do what God has called me to do, and that's spend and be spent in the preaching of the gospel to teach God's children and strive in my own way, as sinful as I am, to be an example to them and encourage them and love them. Now that's what I'm supposed to do. You pray for me because I fail daily. Herein is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. There was one that came to the Lord. What good thing shall I do to inherit eternal life? No, that may not be it. That may be the one that asked him what was the greatest commandment. And he answered the question himself. And the man went away sorrowful because he had many, many riches. Some people confuse that because the Lord told the man to sell what he had and give it to the poor. God had blessed him with a rich life. He knew God. The Scripture plainly manifests that. But he cared more about the things of the world than God's children. Sell that what you have and give it to the poor. God's not telling everyone that has money to give it all away. He's teaching him that to enter into the kingdom of God, to be a disciple, you must have love in your heart manifested to the sons of God, to your brethren in the church. Who is John writing this epistle to? The church. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so shall you be my disciples. A student, disciplined student. As the Father hath loved me, this is John 15:9, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. That's not saying, if you keep my commandments and you work hard and you get up to the pearly gate, St. Peter's going to stand there with a book and check off your sins against your good works. One sin deletes every single good work we've ever done. We used to have a saying in the police department. All them attaboys you get, all them commendations you get, all these plaques and trophies they give you, I got a dozen of them, and all sorts of things I got when I was working. All that stuff doesn't mean anything when you make one mistake. And St. Peter's not going to be the one standing at the gate anyway. It's going to be the Lord Jesus Christ who brings you through that gate. Himself and none other. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. What's John saying back over here? If you love, you abide in the love of God. The love of God within you. That song we sang. Help me. Touch me with thy love, that I may love thee, that I may love thy people, that I may love thy church. If you keep my commandments, You shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Back to the original text, John 3, 1 John 3. Where was I? Hereby proceed with the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Okay, now he's going to tell us how we lay our lives down. If I die for you, I'm dead. I don't mind dying for you. I love you. But if I die, I'm dead. He's telling us how to lay down our lives. But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother. You understand what he's talking about and who he's talking about. Brother, sister in the church. But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother hath need. I'm not telling you not to help people you don't know. I would advise against stopping to pick up a hitchhiker or some stuff like that, because you get killed. He's talking about loving the brotherhood. Whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? He's not saying it doesn't, and I'll prove that in a moment. He said, how does it dwell in him? It's not manifested. It's like James said, show me thy faith by thy works. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and truth. Example. I know you're having a hard time. I know you've been out of work through this COVID. You got nothing to eat. God bless you. You go get farewell and be blessed to God. That's all some people can afford to do. Do not feel guilty if you cannot. We are to bless as God has blessed us. God's blessed me. I don't need anything because of my wife. Everything we got is paid for. And every time I open the freezer, I laugh because I stuff so much stuff in there, this COVID stuff. It falls out when I open the door. And I don't say that gloatingly. I say that because God blesses us. I've stopped buying groceries. We'd have the freezer now. God has blessed us. And I'm thankful because I don't deserve it. Let us not love in word and tongue, but help the brother. Why don't you take this little bit of money? Why don't you take this meat I got in my freezer, a few packs of this. I can't give you all of it, but I'll give you some of it because my family's got to eat too. Why don't you take these things, and may God bless you, and perhaps we can help you more later until you stand on your feet. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and truth. And hereby, when we have love in deed and in truth, when we love the brotherhood as Christ loved us, and hereby we know that we are of the truth. What is truth? Christ Jesus, God manifest in the flesh. And hereby we know that we are of Christ Jesus, God manifest in the flesh. Hereby we know. Hereby we have assurance of salvation. It might not be here but a minute or two, little glimpses through the lattice. But hereby we know that we're of the truth. We have peace with God, peace with Christ, love of God, love of the brethren. And shall assure, people say we have no assurity. Well, God cannot lie. Hereby we know we're the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him, Christ. For if our heart, if we don't do these things, for if our heart condemn us, people call that a conscience, I call it godly repentance. So when your heart condemns us for doing wrong, been there, done that, learned it the hard way. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart. Do you catch that? And knoweth all things. God knows you. God knows our hearts, and the heart is desperately wicked. God knows you. He knows you as a child of God. If you've got love in your heart, God knows all things. You cannot fall. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, if we love God, if we love the brotherhood, if we strive to manifest this love one to another. Now this is talking about having need physically as far as things to eat and such, but there are many other ways that we're in need and help each other. What I need daily is prayer. And you pray for me, and I know that. And I thank you because I feel it. If our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. Then we have confidence. Then that assurity is there. Then we know that it doesn't matter how many cities they burn down, if they kill our body, whatever they do, we have a surety with God because we abide with God and love each other. We have a special manifestation through obedience. Yes, I said that. And the Bible proves that. Abide in me and I in you. I've called you my friends. If our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. If we love God, we love each other. Oh, is it not so much more pleasant? Why do we grin like the cat that ate the canary every time we come down here? It's a pleasant place to be. Fellowship with God. Fellowship with each other. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him. This is speaking of spiritual things. And this is speaking of God's love manifested on us and God's love working for us and with us. I'm making that point because this is not talking about profiting monetarily in the gospel and all this other things that's taught today. And whatsoever we ask according to God's will, we receive of Him. Why? Because we keep His commandments. What is His commandments? Love God, love the brotherhood. Live as peaceably as you can with all men. Some men you cannot live peaceably with. Stay away from them. Why do I turn that stupid TV on and get angry over nothing? I can't control it. I can't change it. I can't help it. Trust in God. Whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Well, I'm walking without sin. No! My existence, my very being is sin. How can I walk without sin when I live in this world, in this body of flesh, which is sin? I strive to love Him. I strive to serve Him. I strive to love His people. And do those things that are pleasing in His sight. When we love God and we love each other, God is glorified. Jesus Christ, the vine, is glorified. We're manifested to the world that we are His people because we love each other and do not walk with the world. And God is glorified. And this is His commandment. Remember, we're talking about joy in Christ. About joy in Christ. That we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. Well, you got to believe. You got to make a decision to believe. You got to make a choice to believe. You had no choice whatsoever. God took you while you were dead in trespass and sin, and God planted Christ in you, the hope of glory. Period. That's Bible truth. So let's rightly divide the word of truth. We shall see Him as He is when we stand in glory. This is speaking of here in this present evil, dark world, in the church, in the kingdom of God, with Christ, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. Believe what? Believe He's the creator of heaven and earth. He's the living word by which the worlds were framed. Believe He's the second person of the Godhead. Believe He's eternal. Believe He is the Son of God. Believe that He laid His life down on the cross. Believe that He saved everyone the Father gave Him. Believe that He will raise up everyone the Father gave Him and take them home to immortal glory. Believe that He delivers us daily. It might not be in the way we want, but God's ways are above our ways, as they're higher than the heavens are above the earth. As we walk and we strive and we love God and we love each other, as the brotherhood and the church walking through this world, believing that He is the Son of God, that He is Jesus Christ, believing there's power in His name, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, believing He's with us and loving Him above all. We have this surety. And this is His commandment, that we should believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. Time to close. This is cut and dried, the last verse. And he that keepeth His commandments, he that obeys God, don't brag on your own righteousness. Isaiah said our works of righteousness are filthy rags. The best that we can do dare not appear before the throne of Almighty God. And he that keepeth His commandments by the Spirit of Christ, by Christ in you, dwelleth in Him. I don't have to explain that again. Christ is there. He'll never leave. He's in you. And He, you, in Christ. Period. Cut, dried, settled. And hereby we know that He abideth in us. There's that word know again. There's that assurity again. And hereby we know that He abideth in us by the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, brings us into remembrance of former things of Christ, His death, burial, crucifixion. Well, actually, from in the beginning God created up until that, former things. And teaches us of Him daily. And hereby we know that He abideth in us by the Spirit which He hath given us. And all this is about love, for God is love. Love tears down every lie and every wind of doctrine. I don't have time. I wanted to get to 1 Corinthians 13, but I'll leave you with this. Paul said, though I speak, 13:1, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, love in action, I am become as a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. We can have every gift in this world and every blessing of God, but without love, it's all nothing. Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is charity. The greatest of these is love in action. The greatest of these and the greatest joy that we have in Christ is to love each other and to help each other, whether prayer or through physical needs or whatever, to love each other. And that is in Christ. And that is a joy. And you know that.